Starting very. Oh, we're not even recording right now.
Oh, would you look at that?
Hey, for posterity's sake, welcome back, etc.
To Mocha Gumbo.
Wow, what a day.
Yeah, not our best. It's really, really muggy in here. And I'm sort of I'm in that spring break mode, you know, just trying to power through.
I don't know if I like this background music. It's like,
yeah, it's very, very intense. And by I don't mean intense, I mean like too much mystique.
No, I feel like I'm in I feel like I'm crawling through a Metroid game.
Yeah, I could see that, like a cyberpunk sort of thing.
Yeah, or like the menu screen of a Sonic game.
I don't know. I kind of, you remember those Escape the Room games?
Yeah,
that sounds like a soundtrack to one of those.
You know, I kind of,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Where like the dialogue is just rah, 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 and like, you know.
Well, the ones I played were on addicting games, and they didn't have the memory for dialogue.
Oh yeah,
it was just like point and click. Speaking of, I recently downloaded again. There are some really nostalgic, like, the typical like vehicle for nostalgia is music. You know, you'll play Simple Plan, and then you'll throw back to like when you were chugging those. Do you ever have those little juice box drinks that were, they were like barrels? They were shaped like barrels. Tiny little barrels of plastic,
what you're talking about.
And then you would rip open. Anyway, though,
no,
you'll,
what is that?
It was something. They sold it in bulk in Costco. It was really cheap, really sugary, and it would like keep the kids occupied for a while. So my parents used to. They pretty much had a fund just for that, because it would, you know, you feed that to kids at a pool party and your greatest pool party ever.
Yeah. Oh, kind of like a Kool-Aid Jammers.
Yeah, but it was better. Okay. It was in a barrel. A little plastic barrel. It was the sickest thing in the world.
All right,
it was
all right.
So cute.
I can dig it. I can dig it.
But I recently downloaded Vanilla World of Warcraft again, which,
ooh,
I just had that awful phase when I was younger. But I was, what else? I was playing Banjo and Kazooie.
Banjo Kazooie? Oh, that game was
Banjo Tooie.
That's a
another
cult
one.
Game. It's amazing.
And me and my roommate played that a while ago. We played for 4 hours. It was a trip. You know, I felt just every sensation that I had when I first
and
played
game,
it.
That game has kept its playability too. Like,
oh,
it's,
sure,
it's still
absolutely
fantastic.
It
nowadays.
Is very challenging. I'm 21
yes.
Years old. It was extremely challenging.
It wasn't meant to be a kid's game.
Oh no, absolutely not.
That's for seasoned adults.
Yeah. No. It was. And you know what's funny? I would expect after so many years of, I'm not hating this, by the way. I'm getting into it.
It's all right.
I'll switch, but
we can leave it. I don't want you to go to the effort.
You'd expect after so many years of playing, because, you know, you start off playing. I started off playing my Super Nintendo, and Super Nintendo, I could play it with my face. You know, it was whatever game I was playing. It was super simple, because they're all 2D side scrollers. There's only two dimensions you got to work with, and at the time, I thought. In hindsight, looking back, I'm like, wow, those were really rudimentary games. And I remember thinking, I'm like, wow, this is really simple. And then you go like a three-dimensional revolution. You buy your first Xbox, you play Halo, or your PS4, and you play Twisted Metal, or PS2.
PS4.
And then going back to these games, they're impossible. Mario,
like Mario 64.
Mario,
the Nintendo 64 still has some of the best video games ever.
But not even just, I don't mean like puzzle challenge, or the mechanics are so, like in Super Mario, like one of the first ones, the physics are weird. You like jump up and there's a lag time between how long you can jump and how fast
you
can
Mario 64.
And it was impossible. And it wasn't like the actual challenge was like jump over this block. It's like, okay. And it's ridiculous. Like you can't do it.
Oh, it's
incredibly skill-intensive.
It's fantastic, honestly.
And some of the best games now, too. Like people, it seems you see with every company, it's just they are innovating to a point where it's not innovation, it's just complication, you know? You're not actually, they don't try to make things better, they try to add more things and hope one of them sticks. And it happens with every game. And then it turns out, you know, what are the smash hits? The smash hits are the simplest games in the world.
Oh yeah.
You know, and if they add to them, they don't add to them for the sake of adding to them. They innovate. And then if adding is part of the innovation, they do it. But like Fortnite. Oh my gosh, what a simple concept.
Oh yeah.
One island, everyone drop from a bus, here's a couple of reasons, you can build and you can shoot, that's it.
Yeah, that play. I feel like that plays onto a lot of the like. It takes a lot of the tropes, but it does them very well. You have building games are really popular, right? You have battle royale style guys like PUBG. You have DayZ was really popular until the devs screwed everything up. Mm-hmm. And it just incorporates a lot of those things. That's really good, and it's fantastic for streaming, and people love to do that. Uh-huh. So that's another thing that gets people into it, right?
Right.
But there are such cool games that just don't get recognition. Have you ever heard of the game Superhot?
No. Yes.
It's a first-person shooter where time only moves when you're moving.
Yes.
It is fantastic to watch. Mm-hmm. Incredibly difficult.
Yep.
But stuff like that, like, because they're not being made by these AAA companies, right? Because you hear about the Call of Duties and the Halos and all, but independently developed games get a lot less support. Right. It's a far stronger but lesser following, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Right? You have a fanatical cult fan base. Mm-hmm. But that fan base is going too small.
Actual indie games, though, I forget where I heard this, but a lot of those AAA companies, those conglomerates, are making indie titles in the guise of being indie companies. So they're really just small, tiny subsidiaries, and they'll be like, look at our new quirky game, but it's really just... And people hate that, because it's really not innovation. It's not independent. It's, like, reliant on those, like... daddy companies, you
know? Yeah, I guess I don't really. I mean, I for one, like almost exclusively only play independently developed games now. Mm-hmm. Not because
you're the sickest kid ever.
Yeah, because like you know, have you heard of this game? No, but I like indie games because they're like most of the games I play are or have a high replayability, mm-hmm. right? They'll have permadeath, if you know, right? So like you start the game. And if you die, you're done. And then you just restart the game over again.
Yeah.
But they're made so they have high replayability. So you could beat the game in like an hour and a half, mm-hmm. but it's like randomly generated. Everything is different every time you play it. And I love games like that. Those are fantastic.
Certain time horizons, I will not play a game. If I have to commit more than an hour to a single session, I want the game to have progression. That's my cutoff. Yeah. I can't do a game that I can, you know, after that point... If it's like a half-hour commitment and then the game's just over, that's fine. I'll keep playing it. But after an hour, I better be getting returns on this investment. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
or at least feel like
most of the time in those games, if you do a certain thing during one of the game sessions, it'll unlock something for the next one or something like that. Mm-hmm. So like you are making progress, but you can never truly like quote unquote beat the game, right?
Right.
Which is why I like that. Because it doesn't feel stale to me. Right. Like I bought one of the Far Cry games or something like that, and I beat it in. Oh no, it was Sniper Elite 3. Really fun game. Beat it in 12 hours. No replayability. I was just done. That's it. I mean, I could go back and like scour the map for all the pieces of like the compass or what. I don't know. You know, look like the collectibles. They put those there. Like you play it again. You can find it. Like I don't want to be crouching around the map looking at every corner. Just you know.
Yeah.
Just not worth it. But that's $60 versus like a $12 game that I can play for 100 hours and not get bored of.
Right.
That's my gripe with
it. And a lot of my games with the most time spent are $10 to $30 games.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
they're just so much fun. Played the Impossible game for about 3 months. Cost me $3.
Fantastic game.
It was just such a good, it's so simple, you know? But yeah, anyway, it was just incredible how those... I plugged that in. We popped Banjo Kazooie in, and it was like, whoa, you know. Played it for I was just in a totally different place. Well, not even that. It's not even, you know. I can't speak to the merits of the game, but really, really nostalgic. It was really crazy.
Speaking of nostalgia, my friends and I, there was a sale on Steam a while ago. And they had the entire Freddy Fish and Pajama Sam collection on sale.
You know what's...
And I really considered buying them for the longest time.
We actually talked about this a while ago, but...
Really, did we?
There were certain cult games. I think we actually might have spoken about it off-air. We didn't talk about it, I think.
This is definitely possible, yeah.
But, like, Pajama Sam, is one of those games like everyone. By the way, and it's like gender neutral too, because people just know that name. Like people play that game, and I found out we were in my room one time, and I remember one of the distinct games that it seems like your own, when you're a kid, it's like your own personal, you know, you sit in the big leather chair in the living room and you play this game and you're like, wow, this is my thing that's happening.
Your parents told you the internet existed.
Right, and you don't have, well, you have no concept of mass distribution. It just seems like your own personal thing. So I played this Tonka game, and I thought it was this most the most fringe, weird game that, like, my dad got at a garage sale. And I played that I would play it every day. And then I'm like, I wonder if anyone knows about that. And then I looked up, like, the Tonka game on YouTube, like, old footage, and had, like, 2 million hits.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there were those big cult titles, and I'm not talking Sims or Roller Coaster Tycoon, because everyone played those, but there's just some weird things.
Yeah, you're talking, like, Pajama Sam, No Need to Hide When It's Dark Outside.
I never played.
You never played Pajama Sam?
No, that wasn't my game.
All right, I know what I'm getting you for Christmas. If I get you a copy of Pajama Sam, you have to play it.
I'll play it. How long will it take me? 2 seconds?
I don't know. That's a very in-depth game. 2 hours? 3 hours?
Really?
You could probably play Pajama Sam for longer than you play some AAA games right now. I'll be completely honest.
All right.
Mostly because the cutscenes are
unskippable. Will I be able to...
I don't know. Is
that compatible with any... Because that would run on what? XP?
PC.
Okay. Well, that ran on Windows XP. That was a while ago.
It can run on anything now. They need to make more Pajama Sam games.
I've always wondered. I wonder now what... One of the big things that concerns me, and I don't know how concerned I should be because it's just a generational thing. Mm. But I remember having to be bored when I was younger. Like, there was boredom. The internet, like, we were one of the last generations, I think, I'm not sure, where from ages like 4 to 7, you really didn't have access to internet, like high power, amazing internet. So think about that. That's, for me, 15 years ago? Or
longer.
16, 17 years ago. That was back in 2002, 2003. That was back in 1999 to 2002, were years where there wasn't such high power internet that's all I needed. And I didn't have access to it. It's so ubiquitous now that, I wonder what the standard of entertainment is. Because
what are kids doing?
I remember I went to the park, and I was really happy about it. I went to the park when I was home over summer, like my local town park where kids used to meet up when you were like 8 10. You got your bike, and you would you got your brand new bike, and like your mom's like, all right, you can go around town now. Just call me or whatever when you're at your friend's house. And there were people there. Like, they met up, and they're like, oh, we're going to go to a movie theater? Are we going to go to... And I was like, oh, thank God. You know, it's still happening. Yeah. But it just seems like at some point... you're going to be jacked in by 5 or 6.
Oh, yeah. Your mom comes in your room. She's like, honey, do you want to go out for ice cream? You're like, nah, I'm playing bike riding simulator with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Not even that. Well, but like...
I don't even know. Like, we're living in a digital world.
I'm wondering how low... Is there a limit to how low the tech indoctrination age will be, you know? Because for me, I think it was around 8 or 9. Was when I got an Xbox. Like, of course, you'd play stupid little, Super Nintendo, which was nothing.
Oh no, I was a Game Boy kid.
Yeah,
yeah.
We would play that and have fun, but it wasn't so immersive. And you didn't.
I don't know about your experience, but I remember that's why my glasses are so strong. It's because I would never unglue my eyes from my game system.
Yeah, but at what age? That's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking like 5 or 6 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't remember having.
I was inundated very early.
My brother had it because he was older. But I never got exclusive right to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which might have just been a family thing. But I don't think there's going to be... it might just be... That's different, though. I mean, even still, you can look up when you're playing. I mean, it's not objectively that immersive. It might feel immersive at the time, but it doesn't replicate life whatsoever. It's at least Pokemon was, third-person view, and it's... especially Game Boy Color, like the OG, that was just like several visible pixels.
Yeah. How crazy, real quick, if I can interject, is virtual reality?
Yeah, I've never used it.
And neither have I, but it's becoming, I'm watching these games and the kind of actions you have to do, it's very choppy because it's in its infancy. And that's why so many people think it's bad. But they it needs time to grow, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
But virtual reality is so insane to me.
Right.
It's just like we're one step closer to Skynet, right? No, I'm talking in jest.
I don't know what Skynet is.
It's the sentient AI or sentient AI in the Terminator movies.
Mm. I don't know. There are limits to. Yeah, listen to me try to talk about AI like I know anything. So AI right now.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's gonna be really funny.
I mean, I took a class in AI, so.
So you know everything.
I know enough.
I mean, well, I'm talking not AI. Sorry, I misspoke. Virtual reality.
Oh, I don't know anything about that either.
So right now, it's just doing your best to isolate an external image and make it appear as central as possible. So in the case of the goggles, it's really just pushing it up, canceling noise, canceling other sight, and making it everything you see. The real virtual reality, like the really scary stuff, will be, you know, neurological. It won't be a creation of an external image and trying to make it as immersive as possible.
They're already mapping stuff like that. Like, they have, there is, I don't remember what system it is, but there's a virtual reality system where you have, like, the, you have the headset and then you have joysticks, and it maps, like, your finger movements.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I was watching a guy play, like a war simulator, and he had to, like, actually pull the magazine out of his gun and then reload it, and it, like, if he fumbled it, it wouldn't reload.
That's
like,
incredible.
It's insane. That's how, like, close we're getting now, and that's crazy to me.
Now, what are your thoughts on? Wow, we're getting very profound today. I don't mind because I need.
I want to get more philosophical than this, and I'll tell you.
I need a break from whatever we've done. I just don't have. I have a one track mind right now. We got to stick with it.
Yeah.
Do you think the? I mean, I feel every age goes. No, that's the realm of science fiction, of course. You know, Orwell's thought that the telescreen was impossible. And it turned out to be true 30 years later.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the full sort of immersion that would result from manipulating brain signals, you know? Like, the replication of smell, taste, sight.
So almost like forced dreaming.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
you know?
That'd be pretty sweet.
And it doesn't see it. I mean, if the brain's just a physical thing, I imagine at some point there would be a way. I don't see why this would ever develop as a technology, but there would be some way to manipulate it to create just a temporary false reality.
Oh, you could
reality.
Absolutely do that. Just stimulate different parts of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, man. Between this conversation and this heat, I feel like I'm...
Just slip into the aether?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just going slowly toward the void.
Want to take a break?
Yeah, I think so. I need to refresh and do something more down to earth, you know, because right now I'm too high octane conversation. I'm like losing it.
I mean, I'm going to get more philosophical as soon as we come back. So.
Oh, great. All right. Well, brace yourselves, everyone. What do we got for music?
Everything is explicit that I've been listening to recently.
Yikes.
Because I'm sick.
Should listen to some choral music like I do.
Every morning. Where the heck? All right. Well, none of my stuff for Spotify is loading. And I don't know. Oh, I have a playlist for this week, and I'm going to play something randomly.
All right.
And all right, it looks like it's going to be Sober Up by AJR. Oh, we haven't listened to AJR in a while, actually.
Sober Up by AJR?
Yep.
All right, you hit that whenever you're ready.
All right, I'm good whenever.
All right, yeah, go ahead, and we'll be back very soon. Enjoy the music.
Supposed to be. I hope that you're missing me, 'cause it makes me feel young. Hello, hello. Last time that I saw your face was recess in second grade, and it made me feel young. Won't you help me sober up? Growing up, it made me numb, and I wanna feel something again. Won't you help me sober up? Thank you. We said that we keep in touch, and we did our best. All my new friends, we smile at party time, but soon we forget to smile at anything else. Won't you help me sober up? Growing up, it made me numb, and I wanna feel something again. Won't you help me sober up? All the big kids, they got drunk, and I wanna feel something again. Won't you help me feel something again? How's it going yet?
Bye. faceva sperare di poter ritornare ad una vita senza paure. Bene, stare da ballo, tutto era uno sballo, quelle mura erano sicure. Oggi la storia è la stessa, come fosse riflessa in uno specchio, dove il nuovo uguale al vecchio. This is
Welcome back. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania, and I feel very loud. Is that me, or is that?
Go ahead.
Oh, it's probably just my headset.
No, you're right. You're actually a little low.
Really?
I apologize for the weird
because
music.
Because we turned up the speakers.
The monitor? I turned up the headphones by accident.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. All right.
So, yeah, apologize for the weird music. I don't know what that was. But it is electro swing. It's just terrible.
It's not that bad.
I don't know.
I mean, it has merits.
I'm not a huge fan. Anyway, before we went to break, you said you had something mind-blowing and profound to say.
So Netflix has come out with this new show called Altered Carbon.
I've seen the ads for that.
Have you watched any of it?
No.
Brief 30-second description of it.
All right.
Basically, don't do this to me. He had his hands up counting down. Basically, it is a society several hundred years into the future. And the protagonist wakes up in a body. And in this society, the whole gimmick is that society has advanced so technologically far that everyone has a chip in their neck. And you can stream consciousness into different bodies. So you never really die as long as you can keep like purchasing bodies, right? Mm-hmm. So the ultra rich, like the 1%, are never truly dead.
Sorry. This sounds like another version. You ever see Just in Time or In Time?
Yeah. That's not the point of the show, though. The point of the show is that the main character was killed, quote unquote, and stored in like this physical memory bank. Like they had his chip, that his consciousness, and they stuck him there for like 200 years. And he was killed initially for being a deserter in the army or like plotting a terrorist thing or something like that.
So his consciousness is just chilling somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So he gets put into this body hundreds of years later. And it turns out that he has been contracted by this billionaire to try to find someone who attempted to assassinate the billionaire. And it's the whole show is him trying to figure out this like.
You've piqued my interest. I think it's very cool,
right? Yes,
yeah, I love thought experiment shows like Westworld.
I've heard, or what it's been described to me as, before I watched it, was like Westworld meets I forget what the other one was, but it's fantastic. It is a great thought experiment. It is ultra violent if you're into that.
I don't really like violence as much as I like choreographed fight scenes.
That's fair. Like I'm not watching it for the violence. I'm watching it for the fact that it's like it's an incredible type of story.
Right.
But like, and I was talking to my friend Greg about this, and he said this show is brilliant, and the fact that Netflix picked this up is such a big boon for them, especially since
they picked it up. It's not an original.
No, it was, I think it was a book series or something like that. Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
But in any case.
But it has the Netflix logo on it. It's like theirs.
It is a Netflix original.
Oh, okay. All right.
And this is the first time it's being produced for, quote unquote, television streaming. But because you can just transfer consciousnesses at will, if one of the actors is just like, I don't want to do this anymore, they just get a new actor and say they streamed the consciousness in it, right?
Wow.
How.
Very versatile show.
Yeah, exactly.
That is really... No wonder the producers loved it.
Yeah, exactly. They were like, we gotta get this now. Like,
that's brilliant. That show could technically go on forever.
Yes.
That could be like a Doctor Who where they just change bodies. Do you think that has anything to do with the writing of those shows?
The Doctor Who?
Yeah, or this Altered Carbon. Do you think part of the writing is, geez, I wish we didn't have to rely on our actors so much? You know, that's kind of interesting because...
Maybe for Doctor Who, but I don't, an Ultra Carbon, I think that's just a byproduct of the way it works.
But that's very interesting. I mean, because think about it, you're, as an actor or actress, you have so little leverage.
Yeah.
Because, like, certain shows are centered around certain characters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this show, obviously, the main character has a lot of negotiating power with the studio because they're the face. You know, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
But, so it's really hard to translate this pseudo-consciousness into an actor. You have to have some really high-powered actors who can watch the other series and go, all right, I got it. But actors, if you do that, like in a show like Westworld, think how dispensable all the actors are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know? You could really just introduce...
with something else, like The Walking Dead, like you pick Andrew Garfield, not Andrew Garfield, I don't remember what his last name is. You pick the character who plays Rick for as long as you're making that show, unless you kill them off.
Right.
But something like the Hunger Games series.
Mm-hmm.
You pick Jennifer Lawrence, and she's there for all three movies.
Right.
Like, you can't switch her out. It's just not a thing you can do.
Sure.
So, and I guess in that regard, if you have an established series in which you're a main character who, like, either doesn't die or doesn't die until the very end, you have a lot of leverage, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, that's what I'm saying. Of course, the big talent has a reasonable amount of negotiating power, but, you know, everybody else... is kind of subject to the whims of the production team, you know?
Yeah.
Westworld, by the way, rumors, I don't know if anyone cares, but, and I'm not a huge consumer of media, to be honest. My roommate Danny, this drives me crazy. This is a digression. What I was going to say is that Westworld, Anthony Hopkins is probably coming back.
Are they making more of it?
I love it. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
April,
wow.
April something. I think early April.
Why didn't I know about this?
Let's see what the release date is.
Yeah, please do. That's incredible. For our fans.
Yeah, for all the Westworld fans out there. What a show, by the way. I don't care if you're a sci-fi person or not. Oh, my God. What an incredibly filmed and acted show.
I loved watching it again and then seeing... how the whole thing is pretty much in front of your face the whole time, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's, it's just incredible to me.
You're
lounging right now. You're like way back.
I'm relaxing. So, oh, right. Also, another thing. So, it releases, Westworld 2 releases, let's see, let's go down to the bottom of this. Or Westworld Season 2, rather. The release date is April 22nd. But another thing, this was kind of cool. This was on Esquire. At 33 seconds into the trailer, there are white bars on the top of the screen, which is binary and decodes to 52.89.126.34. You punch that into a search bar.
Yeah,
and it leads to, I forget the name of the company. Is it Delos?
Delos.
There are multiple parks. Or it's suggested that there is Eastworld, Westworld.
Oh, really?
Like Victoria World, Rome. All different like moments in history. Which, like, that's really exciting.
Yeah, so because, it's one of those, like, oh, we can make a bunch of spinoffs.
Oh, sure. And not even that, but the universe can, like, I think part of the sadness or part of the loss of the magic is that these AI become sentient, have their revelation, and then it's boring. But there are five other parks where everyone is unaware, and now we have one park that's gone rogue and five others that are living in...
complete.
So you can watch these parks interact, and you'll probably have some trying to reveal to others.
Oh, that is exciting, know, yeah.
It's very interesting.
Right,
and,
wow.
And this, I think what that meant to suggest is that this show has longevity.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm worried about now, though, is...
Oh, did we just spoil like the whole series, by the way?
What?
All right, never mind, don't worry. I don't want to be... I don't... If, in case
well, if you say it explicitly now that we might have...
Westworld, yeah.
But, well, I don't think so, because we never confirm yes or no.
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, by the way, if you watch the show, that's hinted from the very beginning. You know, like, that's what the show is.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Actually, no, we didn't. No, no.
That's what I'm saying. It's all moot. It's all
not
moot.
Really. The all the major things that happen, because that occurs, what we're saying, like episode two, you know, really.
Yeah, that's fair.
But all the major things we haven't said. Because there's some crazy stuff.
New parks, though.
There's some crazy stuff.
I can really dig that.
Yeah. But the only thing I'm worried about, and I don't know if this is, because I don't know much about how these shows are produced, but they made an amazing first season.
Mm.
And I really hope the production quality doesn't go down, because the first season, every episode was a movie.
Mm.
You know? It was an hour-long cinematic experience.
Yeah.
12 hours of a movie. It was incredible. I mean, it cost a lot of money.
Mm.
I'm hoping that they don't use their... I'm getting so much feedback. I'm hoping they don't use their good reception, like their critical acclaim, and then just to say, push out all right, we don't need to try anymore, you know?
Yeah, that's what... moving back to The Walking Dead briefly, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
That's going so downhill. And I love the comic books. I read up until the most recent one,
mm-hmm.
but... seeing the show go where it's gone, because the first season, 6 episodes, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The production quality was amazing. The director was fantastic. The camera, all that, the music. And then now they're on season 8 or something like that. It just feels dry. It's felt dry for several seasons, which is why I stopped watching it. But
now, can you think of a show that did it right from start to finish?
Live action only, or?
It doesn't matter.
Futurama.
Well, okay.
Futurama never got bad for me.
Well, no.
Well, there were some bad episodes.
I'm talking about, because for episodes that don't have a contiguous plot, and you might say that about Futurama or any other show, because there are developing themes over time, vaguely.
Mm.
But I'm talking about shows that have a contiguous plot.
From start to finish. I would say... I think for the most part, Scrubs was pretty good.
Thank you. That is my favorite show of all time.
Except the last season. I didn't like the last season.
Yeah,
that much.
A couple people have said that. I really didn't mind the last season. If you keep in mind that it is a sentimental wrap up, you know,
how much
development is really supposed to occur in a show like that in the last season, you know?
Yeah.
Because every season prior is, oh, he's a resident. Oh, is he going to find love? Oh, is he going to. That starts off on a high note.
Yeah, you have those goals for JD. You know? You want him to achieve those goals.
What I think one of the brilliant things about Scrubs is sometimes... this is the weirdest thing in the world.
If it seems like I'm not paying attention to you, it's because I'm trying to find TV shows, by the way.
Scrubs, sorry about that. The writer and producer, Bill Lawrence, bless him if he's listening. A gift for season to season momentum, you know. He didn't let it get away from him. The end of, I can't remember if it's season 1 or season 2, there is a big reveal, but I don't know if you remember this, between Jordan and the rest of the crew. Jordan like tells every which one of them a secret about the other person. They all hate each other, and then the season ends. So you're like, what the... Everyone hates each other at the very end of the season. And you're like, come on. And then... So it really, really ties in season to season. And so it has this beautiful natural flow. And it's not like you're starting over again.
Mm.
I have a feeling West Wing is going to do the same. Or West Wing. West Wing, by the way, also fairly good. I think it's a little dull season 5. But Westworld seemed to try pretty hard to make that happen as well.
Mm.
They didn't have any tenuous... It's not like they were like, ugh, I don't know if this is going to work. At the very end of the season, they gave us something to expect.
Mm,
you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, oh, cliffhanger, and then maybe. It was like, yeah, there's going to be another season.
All right.
So it's probably going to, I think it's going to have a lot of merit. I'm excited.
Other than that, I can't think of anything really. No. I think, for what it's worth, I think Stranger Things has been pretty good so far.
I don't know.
I know a lot of people didn't like the second season.
Well, that's the kind of show I'm talking about. They started over again. You know? They had a one-season story. That was a one-season
story.
And
that, oh my god, it was fantastic. I could not put that down.
Stranger Things should have been a... We've had like social commentary for an hour. I don't mind it. I'm just saying this is not us. Please listen to us next week.
I'm
sure
this.
We'll be more inspired.
No, but, this is fantastic.
I don't mind it either. But Stranger Things should have been a
one-off.
No. An American Horror Story. American Horror Story.
Like an anthology type? Oh, yeah, so like new people.
Mm-hmm. Or new people. Like, same.
Completely new
the
people.
The only thing that should be the same is the aesthetic and cinematics and cinematography of the production team. Mm-hmm. You know? They add their... And the writing.
Speaking of American Horror Story, what? That's a good show.
Yeah. I've seen the first season. Couldn't get into the second one.
Asylum?
Yeah.
I watched it with an ex-girlfriend, so I was like obligated to watch it.
Right.
It was all right. There were a lot of, as in every American Horror Story, there were a lot of really intense themes, and there were some really rough scenes.
You know what? I didn't like Asylum because it was it wasn't a mystery. And let me qualify that. Of course it was mysterious, but it seemed more about psychological horror.
It definitely was.
And I don't like psychological horror.
I find that
torturous.
Up.
I don't like it at all. The first episode was like a complex character histories, you know, like the guy in the hat with the coat.
Yeah.
He just adds like there's a lot of figuring stuff out. It's not so much about the terror. And obviously people like that. It just wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it more as a mystery story than anything else. So I wasn't prepared for season two. But yeah, imagine if Stranger Things, they had no business doing a second season. Don't get me wrong, I was excited and I watched it. But how did it... I was just about to ask you how it ended.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen it yet, so.
Oh really?
I know, I actually haven't.
Don't get me wrong, it is not going to disappoint, I don't think. I think it's very entertaining. But they can't do this again.
Yeah,
I don't think they have a continue. They're going to try to elaborate on themes. There's one particular moment that after you watch it, we'll talk about it. Probably. Well, you got spring break, so we'll probably be able to talk.
If I have enough time, I definitely will. I need to figure out if I want to watch Altered Carbon the whole way through or first. But
let me. I might be with you on that.
Let me know because I would be very excited to watch that.
But. We'll talk about it. But anyway, I just think that show would have been better off. That's one of the shows that is the prime example of doesn't do a series correctly.
Yeah.
If they continue doing that, they are going... The things they establish in the first season, they're going to make stuff up that wasn't pre-existing. It could be. They might have they might have an idea.
Backpedaling is definitely something that shows do.
I really think that they're gonna retroactively try to make sense of what they've made. I could be wrong, but... all right, so we're coming to the top of the hour. It is 5:50, and we have time for one song.
That's a big ask.
Well,
I could, why not?
And then we'll come back to our word of the day. What are we thinking as far as music? And just give me the title.
We can play a pretty popular song, because I'm not feeling. Let's do Flare Guns by Quinn XCII. Flare
Guns by Quinn XCII.
Quinn 92? Is that 92 in Roman numerals?
XC1111.
XCII is X C before is 100. C is. Yeah, but X before right. C is.
I don't know. Yeah. we'll get back to you with a complete history of Roman numerals and their application right after this. Enjoy Flare Guns. By Quinn XCII and Chelsea Cutler, apparently, and we'll be right back.
Focus on you in the light. It helps me feel my emotions. Why are we at such a distance? Find ourselves so out of frame. This love stay calm in the night. Yeah, help me heal and reopen. Why are we drifting away from everything we wanted to save? I told you I'd be down forever. Loving you is danger, but it don't feel wrong. It's old news, I should look for better. Falling back to strangers, leave me hanging on. Flare guns go off in my head, saying not to call you this late. Still I doubt those numbers every time. Why do I
replay those messages that you left at the tone last May, slowly wishing you were never mine.
Your face became all I know. I tried a picture and at the why are we fraying the edges, making me feel I'm to blame. I wanna know what's the deal. Where have you been and what do you think of me? Is there a new girl silently screaming in name?
I told you I'd be down forever. Loving you is danger, but it don't feel wrong. It's old news, I should look for better. Falling back to strangers, leave me hanging on.
You leave me hanging on. Flare guns go off in my head, saying not to call you this late. Still I got those numbers every time. Why do I replay those messages that you left at the tone last May? Slowly wishing you were never mine.
Told you I'd be down forever. Loving you is danger, but it don't feel wrong. It's old news, I should look for better. Falling back to strangers, leave me hanging on.
See, I don't know better than to give up on loving. Why am I still holding on? I'm still holding on.
I'm way too honest and you make me want it. Lying alone all night long, alone all night long. When flare guns go off in my head, saying not to call you this late. Still I doubt those numbers every time.
Why do I replay those messages that you left at the tone last May? Slowly wishing you were never mine.
Saying not to call you this late. Still I doubt those numbers every time.
Still I doubt those numbers every time.
Why do I replay those messages that you left at the tone last May? Slowly wishing you were never mine.
Slowly wishing you were never mine.
Welcome back. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. This is Mocha Gumbo, and we're coming up to the top of the hour. We got time, as you know, if you're a regular listener, which I really hope there's one. You know?
Yeah.
It'd just be nice. Can you do that again? It is time for the word of the day. You can stop. And the word of the day, this can't be real.
Oh, is it not? Is it not?
The word of the day is scarify.
Scarify?
Is it scarify? Yeah. I actually don't know how to do phonetics, which is kind of funny. We're going to go ahead and figure this out.
Scarify.
Scarify.
This
sounds made up. To make scratches or small cuts in, something such as the skin.
Wait, no. That seems like it would be scarify. Well, I know.
Scarify.
Kevin, come on. I know.
To lacerate the feelings of.
Oof. Ooh.
Yikes.
Scarify just sounds like a stupid word, though.
Yeah, it really sounds made up.
It's like scarified. It's like a kid's Halloween movie, and it's like a ghost that's not scary.
No, no,
and
no. It's like a haunted theme putt-putt golf place, you know?
Yeah.
Or like a local town-based Halloween shop.
Hmm. No, I mean, I'm talking about like, oh, when all the young ghosts get older, instead of puberty, they go through they scarify and they get all spooky. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, right. Yeah,
I thought
like
you were. I imagine it like a Goosebumps title coming up in like, you know, like the dripping blood font.
Oh god, I love it.
Scarify.
Yeah.
To cut or soften the wall of a hard seed to hasten germination. Wow, that'll be useful because we're going into botany.
Are you not? I thought we were minoring together. That just sounds like a stupid word.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. We could try the other one.
Yeah, let's do that one.
This is dictionary.com's version of the word of the day. Ergophobia, an abnormal fear of work. An aversion to work. That is... I think your boss will give you kudos if you try to pull that one out, but he's... once he looks up the definition, he's not going to be
happy. What did you just say there?
What?
What's your boss going to give you?
Kudos.
We had a whole episode about that word. Awful word.
Yeah.
I can't believe you just used that.
Yeah, I criticized myself like 7 months ago.
Yeah, wow. Huh. Jesus.
All right. We have 3 minutes. One thing I do want to address, by the way, is...
spring break?
If you're listening and you haven't been looking at the weather, get some canned soup. The other thing is... it's going to be spring break, so we will be back, not next Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. That will be March 20-something.
Yeah.
2 weeks from now, so March 20th, maybe.
Today's a... yeah, whatever.
So we'll be back in 2 Tuesdays from now, and we'll be 5 to 6, as always.
Same mocha, till then, same gumbo.
Same mocha, same gumbo. Yeah. Till then, enjoy your spring break if you're on the Hill. And if you're not, if you're a concerned parent at home, make sure that you take your kid out for a nice seafood dinner on Friday if your name is Maureen Milton, because he's really, really craving a good bisque. Other than that, I got nothing. And this has been Mocha Gumbo, and James... what are we listening to?
WGRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania.
And that was James.
You're welcome.
And I was Kevin. Enjoy your break. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your evening. Stay safe. Stay warm.
Stay gumbo.
Stay gumbo. We love you.